Melbourne AA Steps Weekend 2008. This is Des talking about Step 11.
Good afternoon. My name is Des. I'm an alcoholic. Can everybody hear me, yeah? Yeah, good. Last weekend I didn't know I was going to be here. This was a pleasant surprise that was sprung on me on Thursday night. So I want to start off by saying really just acknowledging the work that people like Chris and David, and I don't know anybody, you know, there's many, many people I'm sure involved in getting this weekend up and running, and I just want to acknowledge their work. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So thank you. Step 11. Let me begin by saying that that what I share today is my experience, and you may connect with that or you may not, you know. But one sure thing is that's for me, to be honest, that's all I can share with you, is my story around this step. And, you know, I was just considering over the last few days, because I didn't realize I was being auditioned on Thursday night. I went to a meeting and it was on the 11th step and I got asked to share. And it's very easy to stand up and do 3 or 4 minutes, you know, but they're looking for something a little bit longer. So I was thinking, how would I approach this, you know? And of course, the first thing to do is to read the step, which I have done a number of times since. And of course, in the short version, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I thought I'd break it down. And just look at maybe 4 aspects of it. Look at the prayer aspect, the meditation, conscious contact, and what's God's will for me. So that's what I've done, and I've been praying for clarity, just to speak with some clarity around that, because I have a bit of a butterfly mind, and I'll pick up on a point, and I'll probably run with that. So I'll try and stay on track. I got sober in London. I'm not sure the date of my first meeting, but I stopped drinking on the 19th of February 1996. I'd say it was a Monday. I had my last drink on a Sunday. And I was at a meeting, my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, on a Wednesday night. So that would have been maybe the 21st of Feb or something. But I count the 19th of Feb 1996 as my sobriety date. I haven't picked up a drink one day at a time since then. For me, without doubt, the most significant event in my life has been coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. I say that because you'll all have an insight to the type of mind I have if you're alcoholic. And my thinking when I was drinking, and even when I was growing up before I was drinking, my thinking was quite damaged, I would say. And I found the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and this is going somewhere, let me tell you. One of the first things in terms of being introduced to that fellowship was, of course, the people in the fellowship, and that there was other people in the rooms, and I got to identify with them. And I found I quickly latched onto a sense of hope, and that there was a possibility that I wasn't terminally unique. You know, I had that awful feeling that I was the only one, and that, you know, it was a revelation for me to know that there was other people who not only who drank like I did, but more importantly, who thought like I did, you know. So anyway, onto the step. Prayer. The first prayer I was introduced to was the Serenity Prayer. I share this on Thursday. I had that prayer on auto repeat, you know, in the early days. And I would say it hundreds of times a day, you know, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I had no real idea what I was asking for, you know, only that it was suggested to me that I pray. Actually, you know what, I'll backtrack. I do have an idea what I was asking for. I wanted to get through the day without picking up a drink. That's what I wanted to do. When I came to AA, life was extremely dark, and I mean internally. My internal life was very, very dark, and it was hopeless, you know. And so I was introduced to the Serenity Prayer, and like I say, auto-repeat, you know. And I never, I've heard a lot of people sharing recently about being Catholic and alcoholic, and I'm CIA, Catholic Irish alcoholic, and, you know, my experience around that is I never really had a bad experience with the church because I never went, you know, although we were schooled in a Catholic tradition, I didn't really have a problem. I saw the word God, I'm sure, on the wall, and it didn't matter for me because all I was interested in was stopping drinking, you know, so that wasn't a hurdle I had to cross. And when it was suggested I pray, I thought, okay, I'll do it because I'm desperate enough, you know. So I started getting on my knees very early on. Of course, I have a much more, I suppose, sophisticated understanding of that prayer now, but the fundamentals of it remain the same, you know, that for me it's about, please, God, help me get through this situation, you know, so that I don't have to pick up. Now, the quality of the situations in my life have changed dramatically, you know, and I have an amazing life today, but that the fundamentals of that prayer remain the same. And I still get on my knees in the morning, and I still, the first prayer I recite is the Serenity Prayer, and then I do a number of readings, and then I'll, you know, I was reading through that, you know, the step in the big book, and they're talking about what can we pray for, and I've never prayed for anything but the ability to get through a day without picking up a drink, a drug, or a cigarette, and that's, you know, that's what I do on a daily basis. And so, you know, but prayer is important to me, and I brought some material. This is a 12-step prayer book. Some of you will be horrified. It's Hazelden, but I was at a meeting in Dublin. I think I might have only been 4 or 5 years around, and I was going through a very rough time. Pain was there was a lot of pain in my early recovery, and early recovery went on for about 7 years, I think. But I was at a lunchtime meeting, and somebody brought, will I be able to find it now? Somebody brought this prayer book in to the meeting. And she was doing the chair. She was doing a 20-minute chair, and then we would share. And I was horrified. She brought this book out, and she said, "I'm going to read a prayer." And I hated that. I thought, "What are you doing? Don't do that." You know, so it'll tell you that my attitudes have changed quite a bit. I was going through a rough time. And I'm going to read the prayer, and some of you will be horrified that you'll be sitting there going, "No, don't do that," but I'm going to do it anyway. So, and the prayer is, and I'm sure, you know what, it'll be very familiar, but it's called "Don't Quit," right? And this is the prayer. It says, "When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is funny with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure has turned about, when they might have won had they stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. They're not applying that to alcohol, obviously, because we should quit that. But you know, this person probably has no idea of the impact she had on my life, because all of a sudden there was another sort of opening of an avenue of the possibility, and here was another tool of AA that was being illustrated and illuminated as something that could be very useful for me. You know, and my, you know, I love when they talk about spiritual experience of, you know, a spiritual awakening of an educational variety, because for me, it has been nothing but educational. You know, it has been nothing but me learning about myself and learning about this program and what's available to me. I work this program harder now than I did when I first came around. I can assure you of that. And the reason why is because I get so much out of it. You know, and obviously sobriety being at the core of that, and not picking up a drink being at the core of that. But I get to live life, I get to live a full life, you know. And so that's just some of the things for prayer for me. I've written a number of prayers. I make up prayers. I use mantras a lot. They're tools, you know, that I use. And what is it about? And I, you know, for me, I'm looking at the conscious contact. I've often shared this, you know, I've often wanted my higher power to send me a schedule of events in advance, you know. Can you please send me the schedule so I know what the next right thing to do is? And, well, yeah, needless to say, the schedule has never arrived in the post. But so I was thinking about conscious contact. For me, conscious contact, and it talks about this in the step, it's a channel. What does it mean to me? Well, look, I don't really get an insight into God's thinking, and I suppose I'll have to talk a bit about His will for me here, but, you know, for me it's about connection. And there's a beautiful speaker CD going around the place. It's a guy called Seamus O. He spoke in Hawaii a couple of years ago. And he tells the story of, you know, God sitting with the Archangel Gabriel and Michael and deciding where he'll be. And I won't tell you the story, but the punchline is God decides that rather than be anywhere, he's going to be inside them. I'm going to be the last place they'll ever think of looking. I'm going to be inside them. And I get great nourishment out of listening to that CD. He's an Irish chap, and, you know, living in the States, and he's been sober as long as I've been alive, you know. And I thought about that, and that for me resonates, you know, very strongly, because I spent my life, I suppose, I spent a lot of my addiction focused on externals. You know, and I can certainly endorse when people say that this is an inside job, you know. I should clarify, of course, I don't have, you know, in terms of my higher power, I don't have a picture of what that is. I have more of a sense or a feeling. And I suppose that's part of, you know, for me is faith, is that I trust that there's something greater than myself. But anyway, the conscious contact for me is having a connection with something that's inside me that is God-given and that is God-driven. And I, you know, that takes practice in my experience, and that's certainly been part of the educational dynamic, you know, for me, is that as I remain sober and, you know, gain longevity and sobriety, that I get a greater understanding. So that this is an ongoing, and it's not an arrival, it's an ongoing journey, you know. And part of that connection, you know, for me, And whilst I talk about it being an inside job, part of that connection for me is really fueled by my connection with other alcoholics, you know, and that identification. And so I can't do this on my own, effectively, is what I'm saying. And I thought to say it at the beginning, but I didn't. But I mean, a lot of what I say today, whilst it's my experience, the material has been drawn from many different sources. You know, I'm not original in terms of what I share up here. You know, these are ideas that have been passed on to me. You know, and this is what we do with this stuff. You know, I'm a bit freaked out because I have no idea of time. Are you guys gonna? Is that 5 minutes? Really? Have I gone on that long? Does it feel like 15 minutes I've been talking? Connection. So that's connection, and connection takes many forms, but ultimately for me it's an inside job. So how do I nurture that connection? I've talked about prayer being part of my recovery from the early days, and it was. Meditation hasn't been. You know, and now I know they're actually, you know, they're sort of hand in glove. They go together. And you sort of really, if you're praying, you're sort of meditating as well. But they do split them up. They say prayer and meditation. So there's a formal sort of suggestion that you would meditate too. And I was about 5 years sober and I started meditating and I didn't spend too long doing it. But when I did meditate, it was great. I had very good days. And then I stopped. And then I would try going to meditation class, and yeah, that was all right. And then I would do walking meditation, and you know, that was okay. And one that really worked for me for a while was paying attention to what was going on around me. So the instruction is pay attention to everything that's going on around you, so it takes you out of your own head and you're sort of focused, and then you can actually be in the now. And that worked for a while. But recently what I did was, it was about a year and a half ago, I made a commitment to meditate formally, and in consultation with my sponsor, we decided I would start small, and I would do 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening, and I would just sit and be still and focus on my breathing. I'm up to 10 minutes, you know, which is like, for me, my experience with that is I've stuck with that now on a daily basis, at least once a day. I don't, you know, some evenings I just want to go to bed, and I do. I have to say there's been a shift for me once I've started engaging with that regularly on that regular basis. There's some great material in this and in the big book about meditation. And for me, you know, my experience has been that if I sit in stillness, a stillness comes over me, and a stillness comes over my thinking, and I'm able to participate in the day and be active. One of the most, I suppose, significant things that happened was I overcame a fear around taking on a project. And that's very much, you know, through the assistance and aid of the fellowship and my higher power and et cetera, and that as a result of taking on some meditation, and this is how I'm interpreting it, as a result of taking on some meditation, I could actively live what the Serenity Prayer is requesting. You know, so I could have the serenity, I could have courage, and I could have wisdom. And so for me, it's quite profound in a sense that I can actually observe myself being in those spaces of serenity, courage, and wisdom. And I think, okay, that's amazing. You know, and that's definitely one of the gifts for me. So what I do is I try and sit and I try and focus on my breathing for 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the evening. And sometimes I don't get anywhere near that. Sometimes it's a three-act opera in my head. And the important thing about it is that I'm still sitting there doing it, because it's not about perfection. I'm reading a great book at the moment. It's not fellowship or AA literature at all, so I'm not going to read anything from it. But it's it talks about that, just being able to grow and no, you know what it talks about? It says being spiritual is not about perfection. Being spiritual is able to feel the things we feel and to keep going. And that's my understanding of being sober, is I can feel the things I feel and I don't have to pick up a drink. You know, and I think that's the bottom line for me, is that one day at a time I don't pick up a drink, and as a result of that, you know, I have an amazing life. Which brings me to the last aspect of it, and I'll squeeze it in, is what is God's will for me? You know, and my understanding of this is, and it's, you know, they're all interrelated, they're all intertwined, that God's will for me is that the serenity prayer can be present in my life, that those aspects of recovery can be present, that I don't pick up a drink, and that I live a full, abundant and fruitful life, you know, and helping other alcoholics on the way. I'm just going to read a piece. This is from... I'll read two pieces and maybe I should finish, should I? Yeah? Cool. I'll read the two pieces and then I'll finish because... So this is from The Family Afterwards, and it's page 132. I think these pages replicate each other, so I think in the big book it's 132 as well. It says, "We have been speaking to you of serious, sometimes tragic things. We have been dealing with alcohol in its worst aspects, but we aren't a glum lot. If newcomers can see no joy or fun in our existence, they wouldn't want it." And this is one of my favorite lines. "We absolutely insist on enjoying life. Absolutely insist upon it. Nothing too good for the recovering alcoholic." Yeah? So it says, "We try not to indulge in cynicism over the state of the nations, nor do we carry the world's troubles on our shoulders." No. "We should finish on, we absolutely insist on enjoying life." But I have one last one, because this is just... I used to hate people who did this. How fucking dare you get up there and read from the book? Who do you fucking think you fucking are? Anyway. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. So we're only suggesting that you insist on enjoying life. But anyway. But we if you're jumping from an airplane, we suggest you open the parachute. But anyway. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks very much.
Information about the annual Melbourne AA Steps Weekend is available from www.stepsweekend.aagroup.org.au. Thanks for letting me share.